Our neighbor was recently in Boston. She went to Boston to watch her brother run the Boston Marathon. I was talking to our neighbor, and I said, how did he do? And she said, he finished about 3,000ths. And I'm about to say to her, well, that's too bad. But before I could say that, she goes, he did really, really well. He had a really fine result. And I'm going, did I hear that right? I mean, I could hear, maybe if she said top 10 maybe, top 100, 3,000th. And then she quickly added, there were over 30,000 runners this year. So you put that in perspective, finishing 3,000 was a very, very good result. You know, it is a grueling race. You've heard of Heartbreak Hill. They say that that can take the stuffings out of any good runner. And along the way, there are all kinds of quitting points where the participants are just ready to quit. She said with her brother, there were a couple of points during the run where he really didn't know if he could go on, but he mustered the strength and was able to continue. You know, the last couple of weeks we were looking at Peter, and we discovered how Peter, through the intervention of Jesus Christ, was able to crash through his quitting points in life. And I thought it would be appropriate this morning for several reasons for us just to focus on a paragraph. I'm going to make a couple of comments now, which is going to lead into a time of sharing. And then I'm going to come back with the second part, which will lead into our time of communion. So, Ken, if you could put, well, it's already there. That's wonderful. So here are these very familiar verses from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's very interesting here, the main idea that leaps off the pages of Scripture, the slide behind me. Let us run the race with perseverance, the race that is marked out for us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians refers to the Christian life being like a race, just as the writer to the Hebrews makes that reference here. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marathon of faith. And we're told that we are to throw off whatever it is that hinders us. It could be something that is perceived as good. It might be a hobby. It might be an area of passion or interest. But if it gets in the way of your relationship with Christ, you're to throw it off. There's a lot of runners in Byron. You will see them out early mornings and other times of the day. I've yet to see someone running, even on the coldest day, wearing a parka. I took a look at some pictures from the Boston Marathon. It was actually a very cool day, damp day, when it was run in April. I didn't see anyone wearing a parka and galoshes. They all had their running apparatus and were wearing it. And then we're told that we're also to throw off the sin that entangles. When I think of something that can entangle, I think of a frayed shoelace. So when I'm doing my walking at the YMCA on Southdale, recently one of my shoelaces is frayed. And I will often get people stopping me and going, you realize there's a problem with your shoelace, and I need to fix that. And I think that's the notion. And you notice it's in the singular. We all struggle with a variety of sins, but in some of your translations, it may talk about the besetting sin, the sin that you struggle most with, that struggle that you might have with your temper, a particular area of lust. It might be something to do with how you view people, how you treat people. But that's the sin that you are to get rid of as well. Now, we're given two examples. We're going to look at the first one now, and then we're going to look at the second one after a time of sharing. It begins this paragraph with, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Now, there's two ways of viewing this. This is a great gathering of people who are witnessing us. The other meaning would be they are witnessing to us. Now, the idea of witnessing us is very popular. It's a very popular interpretation of this phrase. Hebrews 11, we have this hall of fame of faith, and you've got Moses, and you've got David, you've got Joseph, you've got just a great collection of people. And the notion that many like to popularize is some of these heroes are kind of in an amphitheater watching us as we go through the Christian life. Moses is giving David a high five, like, wow, look at his faithfulness. Look at her areas of service. It's a very popular notion, just as people line the streets of the Boston Marathon and are watching. It's that notion. But I actually believe the more accurate interpretation has a bearing on how we understand the word witness. The word witness in the New Testament is always used with the idea of speaking to or sharing with. And I would suggest to you that what we see here is there are those who have experienced faith, those who have lived out their Christian life, and they are sharing with us. They are encouraging us through their lives, through their example, to press on, to refuse to quit, to keep on, keeping on in the Christian life. So this, to me, is appropriate this morning because what we'd like to do today, which we do on a frequent basis here at Byron, is give you an opportunity to share something that has happened in your life. It might be a specific incident recently. Something that you could share with all of us this morning that would encourage us, that would give us inspiration to press on, to be resilient, to persevere in the Christian life. Now, I know it's difficult. You're thinking, oh, I don't like having to talk in front of a group of people. But always keep in mind what you might say and the way you say it will have great impact on people here this morning. So we've got a fair bit of time available. I'd love to have several of you share. We're not looking for your life story, but keep it short, pithy, and keep it in a way that will truly encourage each of us to press on in our Christian life. So anyone want to start with something that And keep sharing as you get opportunities to give people a sense of what God is doing in your life. And I would hope that even over these 10 minutes you've been encouraged as you've heard from each other when it comes to this matter of faith. So we have heroes from Scripture. We have current people even within our church who encourage us and inspire us through their experiences, through what they have to say. They encourage us to be resilient, to press on, never to quit. But in this paragraph, we have the ultimate example of perseverance. So let us run with perseverance. Be resilient. Don't quit. There's a race marked out for us. The race you're going to run is going to be different than the race I run. You'll have particular challenges. You'll have certain difficulties. They can differ, but we run with perseverance. And here's the ultimate example. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Wonderful descriptions of Jesus. There's faith in the Old Testament, but when it comes to the ultimate example of faith, Jesus is the trailblazer. He's the pioneer. He is the one who initiates true Christian faith. He perfects faith. He is our perfect example. Never faltered, though tempted and challenged more than any of us could imagine. It says the joy was set before him, but he was willing to forgo joy and gladness and was willing to set them aside in order to endure the cross. So when we think of an example of someone up against this insurmountable challenge, we think of all that Jesus had to do for us on the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We saw during Easter that it's best to see the atoning work of Jesus as a package. It involves his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and as we've pointed out intentionally, his ascension. We often kind of leave that part out of our celebration of Easter, and we need to see the significance and the importance of the ascension. And in fact, as we move into our series on the Holy Spirit, we're going to see just how crucial the ascension is when it comes to God's plan of redemption. Indeed, we looked at Jesus and that encounter with Mary Magdalene that very first Easter. And when Mary Magdalene tried to cling on to Jesus to never let him go, Jesus indicated to her that he had to go, that there was more to happen. And that involved, of course, the ascension to the Father. And at the same time, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, in enduring all that he accomplished for us, he secured our victory. We celebrate the fact, even through communion this morning, that it is finished. How easy it would have been for Jesus to have said, "I'm finished, I'm done, I've had enough." When we think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was at that point where it was so tempting just to bail, just to go in another direction. But Jesus endured the cross. He went through all of that for you and me. And when it comes to the cross, we at times wear different lenses. We have the lens of redemption, that lens of atonement, the idea of Jesus doing something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And we celebrate that when we enjoy communion. We see in the cross the providence of God. God is at work. God is at work behind the scenes. And we've even heard this morning that we have a God who goes ahead of us, a God who goes with us, a God who has an incredible sense of planning and purpose in this world. But it also helps us to view the cross through the lens of example. Now, it's not our typical way of viewing the cross, nor is it necessarily our priority when we celebrate communion. But for the writer to the Hebrews, the example of Jesus means very much, which is why we have "consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I'm amazed these days at the number of believers that I encounter who have grown weary, who've lost heart. At times we can find life overwhelming. At times we find life exhausting. Some of us come on a Sunday just to get a break, just to rest. Our expectations have become pretty low of what the Christian life can be and should be. But the writer of the Hebrews says, if you consider him, by all means, think of all that he's done for us. Think of all that he's accomplished for us. Without redemption, without atonement, without Jesus being the one who took our place, then this really doesn't make sense. But when we couple that together with what he accomplished for us, that gives us an inner strength to go on, we also need to take in mind the example and the inspiration that we receive through the cross of Jesus. Years ago when I was in Toronto, there was a woman and her family was going through great difficulty, especially with a daughter. The daughter was suffering from significant mental illness. And I'm sad to report the daughter committed suicide. I remember talking to this woman who was such a dear woman in our congregation and marveled at what kept her going. And her answer at the time really struck me. She said, "John, I love your sermons. I am greatly inspired by our singing. I love the people in our congregation." But she said, "If you want to know what really keeps me going, it's our time of communion." She said, "In communion, I gain a greater appreciation of just how much God loves me. It demonstrates to me that God is in control, even when life circumstances don't indicate that. And in communion, I realize that we do have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ." So this morning, just as we prepare for communion right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to reflect a little bit on what has been shared this morning. I know you too well. I know that some of you have lost heart and are weary or are close to that point. You're here this holiday weekend because you want hope. You want to be inspired. The confusion and the questions that come to you sometimes just seem too difficult. Consider him who endured. What he did for you, what he accomplished for you. But consider his example. The one who abides with us, the one who indwells us by the Spirit, is an expert when it comes to perseverance and endurance. So, Father, we enter this time of communion, and I thank you for these beloved words in Hebrews 12. I thank you we've had the privilege today to listen as various people, brothers and sisters, have shared this morning, examples that motivate and inspire us to keep going on. Father, you are very aware of the unique challenges and difficulties we face. Over the last few weeks, we've considered some who experienced challenges in their marriage, some stresses and difficulties that seem so overwhelming. And we know that some of us wrestle with parenting issues that can make us feel defeated. And Father, for some of us, it's the job. We know you've called us to that job, but at times the stress is excruciating and so difficult. And Father, there's a couple of people here this morning who are wrestling with very specific temptations and need your help to throw off the sin that entangles. And Father, some of us have grown disillusioned with church and with even with you, Jesus. But I pray this morning through your word and through the power of witness, we will be strengthened in our faith. Jesus, thank you for taking our place. Thank you for being the perfect atonement for our sin. We can never, ever imagine what you endured for us. The opposition from the Roman authorities, from the Jewish establishment, the opposition from hell itself. Hell was crying out, quit, Jesus, they are not worth it. Quit. But Jesus, you did all of this for us. So we have a diverse way of looking at communion. We see what you've done for us, and we're inspired by your example of what faith is all about. Jesus, on the cross, you said to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What a great example for all of us. No matter what we face in life, no matter what we're dealing with, the joys and the disappointments, into your hands, O Father, we commit our very lives. And Jesus, we see victory in communion. Sin has not won. Death, the devil, all of that has been defeated. And we look forward to the final consummation of our faith. Heaven is a real place. It's where we are headed as we are believers in Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you would inspire us, that you would energize us through your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.